Today, I wanted to share about spiritual friendship. Sometimes it's mentioned in as an offshoot of a conversation, or as a side reminder. I thought it might be nice to really bring it forward and share why it's important, and inviting a reflection as to how we are practicing with this really important aspect of this path of liberation. So Kalyanamita, that's Kalyana, Mitta, Mitta, Pali language for spiritual friend or beautiful friend, lovely friend. Not lovely and beautiful as we understand it often on the external. Lovely and beautiful on the inside. And what is it that makes this person a good friend, a good spiritual friend, is what's inside of them. These characteristics, these virtues inside of them that when we see, we want to emanate. It emanates from them, and we want it to emanate from us as well. So it's not just, oh, isn't this person cool? They're so dedicated, they're kind, they're compassionate, they have lots of integrity, they're wise, they're purposed. And then we turn around and not do those things, or not bring those characteristics into our ways of being. There are spiritual friends along the path, and so we bring ourselves to be in communion, connection, be with them. And we want to be like that. We want to absorb those same characteristics, and we want to practice like that. So there are many, many sutras where the Buddha talks about how important a spiritual friend is on this path of liberation. And the one that we probably hear the most is this one from the Samyutta Nikaya, where Ananda, his attendant, is asking the Buddha, is this half of the spiritual life, the spiritual friendship, this path of liberation, awakening? Is spiritual friendship it's part of this life of liberation? And then the Buddha responds, do not say this. Tells Ananda, don't say this. That spiritual friendship is the whole of the spiritual life. It's the entire spiritual life. And there's other places in the text where when the Buddha is advising, and what's the characteristics, what are the things one needs to advance in the spiritual path? If it's three things or four things or five things, spiritual friendship is somewhere in there, either the first one or the third one or the it's always coming up as this very important part of our path. And again, the inner qualities of this person that we're in friendship with is that they're purposed, they're convicted, they have this great conviction of the path, that this practice is important and that they want to follow it. They they're kind, they're generous, they're intentional, they have compassion, they're wise, they're not perfect, because they're also on the path. And so we are with them as a spiritual, as a good spiritual friend, bringing our similar attributes, the same similar attributes. So we're supporting each other on this path, right? And so one of the things that we think about, and that's important for us to think about in this very practical everyday way, is what are the elements, or what are the things that bring us together with friends that we currently have? Like, we just make it real, right? We all know that some of, maybe when we enter into this path, we often hear it's hard to be with our friends because we're taking up these practices now, right? We've like, attending some sangha, we're listening to Dharma talks, we're practicing meditation, we're practicing different kinds of meditation, walking meditation, eating meditation, sitting meditation, or mobile stationary meditation, moving meditation, noble silence. And we go back from our retreat, and our friends didn't go to the retreat with us, the friends that we have. And so we find the question often comes up, what is it that is bringing us together as friends? You know, what unites us as a friendship? And so this is a thought experiment for all of us. So I want you to reflect on someone that you know who you would consider a spiritual friend. So just bring that person into your mind and think about, what is it that makes you think of them as a spiritual friend? Is it because of the characteristics just mentioned? Is it something else? So just take a moment to reflect on that. Okay, thank you. And then I want you to now take a moment to reflect on another friend who, and I'm not disparaging or inviting you to disparage anyone. I'm inviting you to reflect on all aspects of our practice, not just when we're together in Sangha or we go to a retreat, the aspects of when we're in our regular daily life. I mean, this is part of our regular daily life, right? Coming to Sangha, going to retreats, etc. And also in our workplace, our school space, our play place, we're engaging with folk as well. And we all may be engaged in relationships where maybe the person doesn't, not necessarily challenge or practice, maybe they make it hard for us to practice sometimes. So I want you to reflect on that. What is it in that relationship that makes it hard to practice when you're at work, in play, maybe you go work out with them, in school, in home, family, right? It's always a good one. Just reflect on, what is it? What's the characteristic of that friendship, of that relationship, that might make it hard for you to practice. So just take a moment to reflect. So this is not about demonizing or disparaging. This is actually about leaning into how you can help. Yeah. So think about that, a particular characteristic in a friend or relative, coworker, colleague that makes it some kind of relationship or friendship that makes it a challenge to practice. Let's reflect on that. Okay, thank you. And then what I want to invite us into is to think about what are the elements in that particular relationship where there might be some difficulty that can be introduced to help with that, right? And so this sort of inquiry is to inquire. You know, with family, it's kind of family, right? It's like the question of, right, what is it that unites you or bring you together? It's family, right? We've known folks since, you know, maybe a parent or a child or a sibling or auntie or cousin like that, right? Partner. With partners, a little different though, right? Because there's something that actually, with some intention, brought us together into that partnership. So the question is around, what is it that unite, that makes that what are the elements that unite that relationship? Because that's what you do together. And so the invitation is in that reflection as to what's a characteristic, let's say, in a relationship with someone. Let's use a family member, because that's easier for me. and is there a thing with this family member that really challenges my practice? So when I say that, let's go with one that often happens. So one of our precepts or one of our mindfulness trainings is to not lie, to not speak ill of others, to not gossip, to not cause disharmony, right? But oftentimes when we get together, there tends to be, we're talking about folk, right? Sometimes in the most loving way, and sometimes, did you see what they were wearing? I just had a conversation last night with someone, you know, family member, and when that kind of thing was happening, and so what do we do, right? Like, we want this person to be in our lives. We want everyone, it'd be wonderful if everybody we're around is a spiritual friend, right? Because that means we're supporting each other and we're learning from each other. When I forget, I see their practice and it reminds me. When they forget, they see my practice and I remind them, right? That's what happens when we go to a retreat where everyone's coming, or most people are coming with the same intention, right? That element that unites the group is around the practice and the retreat. But in the world, it's not like that. We're involved in many different kinds of friendships and relationships and alliances and collaborations, etc. And so how do we practice with this deep teaching that the not just half Ananda, the whole of the spiritual path is spiritual friendships? And we don't live in a monastery, right? Where even when we don't live in a monastery where the intention for everyone living in the monastery, the intention is for our spiritual awakening, right? So what do we do? Right? So like, what did I say to this person on the phone when they were saying, can you believe what they were wearing? Like, how do we take care of that, right? Okay, so that's the question. I don't have the answer. The question, though, is that I want to leave us with is, do our friendships help us to become the people we want to become? Because when you move all the words away, spiritual friend, what you come back to is, this path is about us becoming the beings we know we are fully, that sometimes isn't able to come out because we are in pain and we have suffered and we have locked up in certain areas. And so we can't be fully, right, the flower, the soft heart that we were trying to cultivate in our metta meditation just now to offer out. And so this is this path, right? And so are we in friendships with people who are helping us to become the best of who we want to be? And if we're not, yeah, how do we cultivate that? Like, how do we be a good spiritual friend with them? Because it's a mutual relationship, this spiritual friendship. And so when someone is doing or acting in a way that it doesn't necessarily foster these qualities and attributes that we want to grow in ourselves, right? Like, how do we practice with that? Yeah, you can think about it like the fifth mindfulness training, right? What are we consuming? Who are the people we're consuming? Right, the energy of the words of the people that we're consuming. So the spiritual friendship is like that. Are we noticing that? Does the friendship lift both people up in achieving what they want to achieve? To achieve the virtues that we say that we have, that we hold there, and we want to elaborate and grow in ourselves, in this world, on this path of liberation. So I know it's a hard one, you know, when we go home from a retreat after eating mindful meals, after being in noble silence, and we go home and, you know, it's just that. Or we live in communities that may not be practicing. How do we engage so that we can be the spiritual friend? Like, how do we engage with kindness, without criticism, you know, without telling someone, don't do that in a harsh way that may hurt them, when they're certainly not trying to hurt or harm us. They're just doing what they've been doing. And we've been doing that too, by the way. It's just that, you know, we found this practice and now we're trying to, we see the benefit and we see the change. And so we want to cultivate it more. And so when we're home, how do we keep practicing in that? When we're trying to eat 5 minutes silence and folk are just talking to us, you know, or we're trying to practice noble silence at night and people got their music on because for their whatever TV or computer on, because that's how they go to sleep. Some people go to sleep with the noise. They need it, right? Yeah. So I think this, and the reason I wanted to talk about it is because I think it's hard. I think we say, I've said it in the midst of something, I'll say, oh, spiritual friendship is the most important thing. And then I was studying it and I was thinking about it and I thought, yeah, maybe that's why it's the most important thing, because it is actually, I think, one of the hardest things in this society. Again, because not everybody woke up to the Dharma when we did. And so we may go to retreats and we may listen to Dharma talks, but not everyone's doing that in our household or in our friendships, right? And so we still want to be of benefit. And we want them to be of benefit as well. Mutual, right? Mutual benefit. And so I do think it's a big practice, actually. One that I invite us to really consider with some intention. And how do we send kindness and energy as a way to cultivate those friendships? So I'll stop there and invite a sound and a bell for us to let this all drop away. Thank you for listening.